What's up, universe? Welcome back to Power and Grace Radio. This is our open special edition. We're going to week two here with Spencer. Spencer, what's up?
Hey, guys. Dilly dilly.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I'm gonna come up with something interesting to introduce every time. I don't know why that one came to my head.
It's perfect. I love it.
There you go.
Spontaneity. That's what you need. We don't want to be a boring podcast where it's just robotic. You need some more introduction in there.
Well, I don't know that dilly dilly was the appropriate one, but it's on there now. So here we go.
You know, people liked our JT talk from a few weeks ago. Maybe we need to toss some band talk in there.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
I don't really know what else to say because I don't know what we're going to talk about with this workout. So
right, yeah, we're going to make up some other stuff. Seeing as, you were almost right because you said two workouts were coming, but it was two of the same workouts that you didn't have to complete. Like you, I think your idea was
two separate ones.
These were very much together. So we got burpees over the bar with some double dumbbell squats, front rack, yeah. I guess. I don't even know what you would call them because most people didn't really front rack. On-shoulder dumbbell squats. I don't know how to classify this movement.
Mid-rack squats.
I want CrossFit HQ to do one of those whiteboard videos on this movement, you know, where they like break down the bullet points. Okay, place dumbbell handles next to throat. Then remove hands and put them on top awkwardly. When the dumbbells fall, make sure they don't fall on your feet because there's no way to permanently get these off of your shoulders without injuring someone in the next lane next to you.
That's so weird.
Fast workout. At least it's much more fun to watch this time around. I didn't mind watching someone sprint through this as many times as I had to watch people get back onto a rower. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. It was repeated a bunch. By at least in my guesstimation, people repeated it more than they did the 20-minute snoozer. So
yeah, people were bouncing.
See it a couple more times.
Oh man, I'm gonna be the super unprepared host. I saw somebody repeated it like 20 minutes after because they missed a round. Oh, who was that?
Wait, they did it. They did it, and then 20 minutes later, did it again.
Yeah.
I need to find it.
Man, I want to.
It's a bad idea. Minutes. You didn't go hard enough the first time.
They did. They missed like round seven or something, and then waited like a little bit.
You didn't go hard enough the first time. I promise.
I was like, oh my god, sounds terrible. And then we got a big clean. We like that. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sexy. I like that.
Big gross clean, especially the legs are roasted. I think people were surprised at what their legs felt like. Every time someone got to the first clean, it looked like their max, even if it was like 70%.
Yeah. I think it was interesting to me, the more people learned about the workout, the more they wanted to put more cleans into the workout. So a lot of people thought, I'll get two or three or four attempts. And what we found out is if you get six or seven, even if it's at a lower rest interval, it starts to wake those legs up a little bit, starts to, again, continue to press that lactic acid out of that system, and gives you a little better performance at the heavier load if you've had more repetitions. Not a lot, but more repetitions heading into it. So
yeah, I was talking with one of my coaches.
Like reverse psychology. You have to do more.
He was asking for like strategy on this workout, you know, and usually we're breaking down, you know, efficiency of movement and stuff like that. I was like, you know, CrossFit has put the guidelines on the couplet that starts it so tightly, you know, with the, you know, you have to be standing at the beginning of the squat and how the burpee actually has to happen. That there was nothing. Go faster.
Right.
That's it. That's the only thing. And everybody continuously figured out that you just had to go really fast if you want a really competitive time and then start a recovery
like
as fast as you can.
If you thought you might need a pacing sheet to decide if you're going fast enough, the answer is you're not going fast enough.
Right.
The answer is, well, I created one for a couple people just to, cause they're like me and they like numbers and spreadsheets. But like, ultimately guys, like if you think if you have time to think about whether you're going fast enough or slow enough, you're not going fast enough.
Now I'm just curious. What was the first column on the spreadsheet for round one?
It's like 6 seconds or something.
I was like, what? I need to back this off. Just hit it in 5 seconds. Spencer has me at six. I better hit the brakes.
Yeah, just to be fair, the spreadsheet was an opportunity for the person judging you to say, hey, you're ahead of your pace. Hey, you're slower than your pace. Not to give them, hey, you need to slow down by 3.75 seconds.
Just see, like, you're roasting this.
Or it was more a tool for the coach than the athlete.
Yeah. It was pretty much, I think it was one of the ones that, yeah, I wasn't really sure, even like popped out. I was like, okay, you know, obviously, you know, when you see the first guys go at it, you know they always go super hard. Nobody paces when they get on to the open show. And then they go out at a blistering pace, and then you're like, okay, well, you know, what does this mean for the average regional athlete? What does this mean for someone trying to make regionals? You know, what pace do they need to be at? And really, it always came down to you probably just need to go faster.
Yep.
Like I was like, well, let's, you know, maybe we should hold back here, hold back. Nope, just go faster.
Yeah, agreed. That's I think that was the name of the game. I think there was a lot of, and you know, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on a workout that was really simple. There was a lot to be said for where the dumbbells were placed, transitions back to the dumbbells and back to the burpees. If you miss a step, or you take one extra jump, or you know, you put the dumbbells in the wrong spot, you're not facing the right way when you do the burpee. All those little things over the course of a sprint like that adds up to 5, 6, 7, sometimes 10 seconds. And as you can see, that's an extremely valuable 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's the 10 seconds that put Matt Frazier's 4:02 at 54th place.
Yeah, exactly. So ridiculous. I mean, 10 seconds for that guy is a massive swing, you know? Yeah. And so, I mean, and he's at the top where there's not as many people. You get down into the hundreds, 10 seconds is 100, so, you know?
About 10 or 14 seconds would have put him in the top 10, and he's 54th.
So
that's nuts.
And that's at the top, man. That's what I'm saying. Is like, you get down in those bottom levels, it's crazy.
Oh man, if you're someone fighting for a regional spot, the seconds,
10 seconds is
a second. I mean, there's going to be so many ties and tiebreakers, and you know, it's a clean, and it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, the clean weights, obvious, then, you know, poundage starts separating people. There's going to be a lot of clusters on those too. Kudos to everybody who grabbed those 1 pound plates, started trying to break out.
Well, and that was the name of the game, right? Nobody, don't do 355, do 357. Don't do 275, do 277, right? If you didn't have the 1 pound plates, if you're listening to this and you don't have them and you're trying to be serious, yeah, you're at a disadvantage. So that's for sure.
Rich Froning doesn't even care, and he did 3:43.
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't even really care about this right now, and he even was smart enough to land on an odd number.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was interesting. There were some people that put up some pretty big numbers, even with pretty decently fast scores. I was more impressed. I'm impressed that it is impressed upon me that the open show itself is not a good overall indicator for how the workout's actually going to roll out. It's because terrible. I mean, Loa improved, Velner improved by a lot, not by a little. It's a good introduction, but it is not a template to use by any stretch of the imagination. For guidance or strategy, for sure. So I was impressed with some of the weights that went up on the guys' side, especially. They put up some decent numbers with some pretty fast times. So pretty happy with that.
Who would you say your most impressive performance was? Got you first.
Well, I'm prepared. I think guys' side, I am most impressed with either Frederick Agidius or Paul Castillo. I don't have any experience. I've never watched Agidius do like work out in person. So I've never seen him. I don't remember watching him. Paul, you weren't there at the regionals last year. When he ended up winning the regional, he was pacing. I mean, like for an hour, dude. Like he had ripped his hands, I think, and so he had tape on his hands. He had his headphones on, and he was pacing like a madman. I would not have been surprised to see foam coming from his mouth, like pacing before the final workout, because he needed it to get into the games. And he went out there and just absolutely demolished that final and ended up winning the region. And so I knew he has like a little bit of a crazy vein in him. and most good CrossFitters do, but goodness gracious. He is not a short athlete. He's a relatively tall athlete. So it's long range of motion for squats and burpees, and a 358 by that dude. Ridiculous. So on the guy's side, Gideas and Castillo, who first really the recognizable names, first two recognizable names, if you sort everything just by the time. There wasn't any, honestly, I know this is going to sound terrible because I'm the weightlifter, but there were no guys that impressed me on the clean. They all hit good numbers. They all hit things about where I expected them to be. Nobody outperformed anything that I thought was wild. So I was impressed by the speed of some of those longer, taller, bigger guys. Again, Paul Castillo isn't a small guy. He's not a short guy. So, you know, again, just like last week, I'm impressed when really small people killed the rower. Now I'm kind of impressed with the opposite, the taller guys killing a squat burpee style workout. So, what about you? Any guys that you went, pretty interesting?
The three workouts that they've put out, it just brought just this random, like, which is what they want, right? Like, they want testing as many different edges of this circle that we've called fitness. And I think they, maybe more than any year I've ever seen, I think they nailed it. Like, so far out of these first three workouts we've seen, they've nailed it. Because we got, I mean, just as many dudes that I can't even pronounce their last name as guys that we're familiar seeing on the board, which I think is awesome, right? It make everybody work for it and sweat and have to drive to try to get to the top of this leaderboard. But no, I mean, no crazy weights or anything. The times are all impressive, right? Like, I don't know that when, like you said, when this workout came out that I was seeing, you know, so many sub-4 times. And then we start seeing them come in, and it's like just doing the math at how fast those people are moving. It's pretty crazy. Oh, and we're back. I didn't know we had intermissions here yet. Are we popular enough to have sponsorships?
Maybe we should put have an intermission to switch from guy scores to girl scores.
Oh, that's right. It's a good segue.
See?
This intermission brought to you by Power and Grace Nutrition.
I'm eating a hot dog.
Oh, God.
It's not a joke. I'm actually eating a hot dog.
Yes. Oh, man. I can't wait for that text message to come in from Christina. It's going to be good.
All right. So, girls' side.
Yeah.
Anybody impress you? I've got two.
You know, I think Tia Toomey did not do greatest, obviously, on the first workout. So she had a hill to climb. I'm pretty sure we all knew she wasn't going to finish in the 400th in the world, but stepped up a solid time on 0.2. And then, of course, everybody knows she can lift big, and she, you know, she smoked a 265, and that'll jump her up the leaderboard. And then I wrote a piece on this last year after the games, but the forever Miss Constant, always there, Queen of Iceland, Annie. She's this consistent. I mean, she may be the most consistent athlete ever. I mean, she's from way back at her first podium finish to last year, she's just always there. And I'm never surprised by it, but right back in the top 10.
You really like Scott Panchik too, don't you?
No, Panchik's never doesn't have the medals. Annie's got the hardware.
Touché. I'm gonna point to two people for the exact same reason, and for two reasons. I'm gonna point to Carrie Pierce and Kristen Holte. Impressed. I mean, Carrie went sixth on the first one in the world, and then second on this one in the world. Kristen went third in the world initially, and then sixth on this one. Two wildly different energy systems, wildly different workouts, wildly different exhibitations of fitness, and they're both there. So nobody else sort of in that pack near the top is demonstrating that kind of diversity in energy system efficiency. You got Kelly Jackson, who hit 14th and 11th. Obviously, I was pumping her up last week. But and then the second reason I wanted to point to that is just how well-rounded you really got to be good at this sport. Because even those girls who seem to be able to work efficiently in two different energy systems are still racking up 584th in the clean, racking up a 433rd in the clean. It's just, I would love to see an athlete that can go third, sixth, eighth, right? And yeah. And be so well-rounded. I don't know that it's possible. I'm so well-rounded that they can be really efficient in an aerobic piece, really hot and high-powered in an anaerobic piece, and then really great in sort of the phosphagenic area with that power output of the clean. So I would just love to see that athlete in person and watch them work. So it's one thing that when you take the whole group and you pare them all down to just the ones at the games, it's easy to kind of show that you're the best, most well-rounded of those athletes, right? That's what Matt kind of did last year. It's easier there because it's such a smaller pool of competition. I want to see the person that worldwide can go kill the 20-minute AMRAP, kill the 4-minute burner, and then hit a top 5, top 10 lift. I just want to see what that person looks like and take a blood sample maybe.
All right. So what's next? So now we have 3 more workouts. I feel like we're like so far into this open, but really that was only 2 weeks.
Only 2 weeks. Still got more, at least half the scores on the board still. Maybe. I guess depends on how you score 18-2 and 18-2A in your mind. So kind of half. And so, I mean, there's still a lot of ground to be made up. We haven't seen a separator yet. So we haven't seen a movement yet that separates the best from the rest. So we all know that's still coming.
Yeah, I think, I even saw Tia make a post, about, you know, we still got a lot of gymnastics to do, a lot of skill work to do.
And I think the athletes like her who are regional games quality, they'll really show up. We'll really see the leaderboard kind of level out the way it's supposed to when those skills show up. You know, yeah, you have girls that a girl that cleaned 285 and stuff like that taking points from the top of the leaderboard. I think all that'll kind of smooth out as we see the skills. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you could argue that the highest skill we've seen is a total bar.
You would have to call that a skill,
right? I mean, a clean. I mean, if they maybe even added a jerk, I'd give it like the clean and jerk. I may give it advantage, but you know, just a straight clean with no squat regulations in it or whatever. We haven't really seen it. Everything's been kind of grunt work,
right?
So I definitely think we're about to get see some gymnastics, see some skills come in. We still got a snatch of some sort to do somewhere. Got to get upside down. Maybe we'll see that handstand walk finally make it in.
It's not going to happen. I think we're done with surprises. I'm going to say that now. And I know he's going to prove – he's proved me wrong 2 weeks in a row so far. So I think he can prove me wrong, but I think we're done with surprises.
I have like 6 rolls of blue painter tape sitting in my closet ready to tape out the 25 feet for whatever we're going to go 25 feet for, right? And I don't think it's going to be lunges this time. I think it's going to be a handstand walk.
I'm not saying that we're done. We're not going to do 25 feet increments. I'm just saying.
You're saying it's going to be lunges then?
I mean, or a shuttle sprint.
Ugh. Man. I don't know. As a coach, I was like, logistics of
judging. I think that's dumb. Sounds weird. That. Sounds incredibly, incredibly bad.
Judging that.
Make happy to watch.
You're going to do the two – is it 2 palms on the ground past the line? Is it just a hand past the line? Oh man.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I think we're done with surprises, though. I think we're done with, I think we get a really classic CrossFit chipper maybe next week with some ring muscle ups and I don't know. We still haven't got a repeat yet, so you know that's coming. So. Anyway.
What about Power and Grace athletes? Anything you want to shout out on?
I'm glad you asked. Yeah, I've been waiting a couple days.
Yeah.
To go through this, because remember, we have a ton of athletes, a ton, and some of them are, you know, ranked top, you know, whatever in their region. Some of them are perennial regional and games athletes. You know, we have all those, but we also have some other athletes that have been with us for a long time and have been chasing regionals and getting better every year and chasing those kinds of things down. And I want to highlight one of those this week. His name's Oliver Dixon, new athlete with us. Guy that is relatively new. He's been working really closely with Joe. He went 5:18 on the workout, which is a really good time for him. And then this man, after a 5:18 time, PRs his clean at 2:92. PR, JJ. I watched a girl do this workout, and I'm telling you, I was in my head, Spencer Arnold, all right, I'm going to do this workout. I'm going to do, if this one looks fun, it's got a heavy clean in it, I'm going to do this workout. And I was like mentally getting ready, and I watched a girl do the workout on Monday, and it looked like a sniper, like from across the room, took her out as she jumped over the bar in her last burpee, and she just collapsed into like a puddle at 6 minutes. And I was like, Nah, I'm not doing that. So the idea that I would get anywhere close to 6 minutes, he went 5:18, and then PR my clean is astronomically ridiculous. And so I want to give that dude some love. What a shout out for him. 5:18 and PR clean. That's wild. I could not. I'm super happy for him. So, obviously, he's on the guy's side. On the girl's side, again, another surprise for me, Ashley Furtis-Smith up in Montana. She has – we picked her up again after regionals this past year. She had a lingering shoulder issue from some stuff prior to coming with Power and Grace. And so we sort of backed her off from the CrossFit. Her plan was to just really lift this year, maybe compete in some weightlifting and not pursue the Open with the same fervency that she had in the past. If this goes to prove the efficacy of weightlifting, she shows up, right, and shows out. And overall, I'm trying to find her scores right now. I know that she showed up and hit some numbers that allowed her to be in a better position than her husband, who has been training for it. So I'm sure those are fun dinner table conversations. She went 5:19 on the workout and 2:17 overall. Has been lifting almost exclusively, does some class workouts or Ryan's workouts with him whenever he needs it, but has been lifting, really, really focusing on lifting. For her to drop a 5:19, I was pretty happy. Good representative of Big Sky CrossFit up there. So Ryan, her husband, I'm sure is I'm sure he's looking at workouts 3, 4, and 5 with with a little bit of a aggressive look. So I'm happy for those two. I was really impressed with both of them. So by the way, she's sitting 37th in the region, just outside of qualifying for the regionals, despite not really chasing that this year. So impressed with her.
I have a theory. I think the best indicator of the workout to come is the two athletes selected for the announcement.
Who is it?
Let's backtrack. Week one, we had Sam Briggs, Kristen Holte, you know,
engine
20 minutes, right? And then we got Vellner and Olsen. So maybe not the biggest cleaners, but you know they're going to sprint and go crazy, right?
Right.
You got Kyle Kaskenbauer and Neil Maddox.
Oh, dude.
Both of them wearing medium t-shirts in their photos.
Both of them masters athletes.
Yep. So I don't see – like, can you give those two – you can't give those two like a light little ginger workout of just skill work, right? Like, These are massively strong individuals. And they're
perennially competitive dudes.
Oh, man. Like, yeah. They're unquestionably the two best masters we have. Like,
man. I think wall balls.
Yeah. They're going to be.
It's going to be dirty. Like, it's just a dirty movement. I think you can see skill, but I think we see wall balls.
Oh, yeah. I think it's skill, but maybe this is where the deadlift jumps in.
If your theory is correct. Oh, and deads. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Something dirty. Yeah, absolutely.
Wall ball deadlift.
If your theory is correct. Yeah, you see wall ball deadlift muscle up.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some nasty numbers you can play with there.
Yeah. Yeah, load those boys and let it roll with some high rep and load.
What 90, 60, 30, like wall balls, deadlift, muscle ups?
Yeah. Yeah. Say 90, 60, 30. Oh, yeah. Good. Solid 60 reps at 225.
But they went 55 the last 2 years. Those are not out of the question. And then 30 muscle ups. And can you get through the 30 muscle ups to get back to the wall balls? Like, oh, that'd be disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil, I hope you're writing this down.
That's dirty. I'm gonna make somebody do that this week.
Yes. I like it. I text them, hey, JJ and I had an idea.
I'm gonna change Shimley's program right now and get in
there. Shimley, yes, perfect. He's the perfect one to try this out too. That's awesome.
That would be hilarious. I'm not kidding. I will at least consider it. Anyway,
yeah. We can bump into the off season. Just make sure you've been there. All right. So I think that's about it. Knocked it out. Got our predictions in. We'll know the third workout in a couple days.
Yeah, next week, come prepared with the introduction. I'm gonna have something better.
Okay,
instead of dilly dilly. Yep.
There you go. All right, we'll see you next time.
Cool, man.